reset your clocks?
I'm just going to do just a couple of quick things. So Cindy, don't try to keep up with me, all right? So I want you to turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Last week we began a series that is this. It is the call, the call to a lifestyle of love. This is exactly what we're just talking about. Call to a lifestyle of love. And last week we talked about God's rescue. And in 1 John chapter 4, starting at verse 7, it says this, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. And the one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent His one and only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through Him." Now just look up from there. Real quickly, a real quick recap. Here it is. This is God's plan. This is God's plan at CareNet. This is God's plan in the world that we live in. God rescues you and me from ourselves so that we can love. So what am I trying to say? God rescues us from love of self so that we can love the way that God has called us to love. That is so important. So the source is God. And through that source, then the answer or the rescue is Jesus Christ. That's what those three verses say. So in other words, one of the things that I just want to say again and again to us, because sometimes we read a passage like this and the first thing we think about within the body of Christ is this: somehow I have to work harder to love. How's that working for you? It doesn't work. It doesn't work in and of your own strength or my strength or power or my own abilities. I do not in my flesh have the capacity to love, and neither do you. But we have a source, and it's God. And God, through His Son, Jesus Christ, has given us the ability. I love what it says in verse 9 in that text, that He sent His only begotten Son into the world so that we might what? Live through Him. So that we could live the way that God intended us to live. Well, I just want to real quickly, because we'll pick up on, I'm going to split this into two parts. But as we think about the rescue of love, that we have been rescued, then I want to just take it from there and just move on. And in verse 10, we find really the definition then of love. And it says this: "In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." It's a verse that I remember memorizing when I was a kid. But here's the thing. We don't and we will not find the definition of love in philosophy. We will not find it in a theological definition. We will not find it through cultural research. Love is most powerfully defined by an action. And redemption, that is, God loving you so much that He sent His only begotten Son to die for you, to die in your place, to be buried and to rise again. In that redemptive act, you can be saved. Amen. Thank you. You can be saved. I can be saved. At the center of God's love was His and is His willingness to offer us His Son as a sacrifice that would pay the price for our sins. It is, we use a word, it is the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And so I just want to say this, especially within the Christian community, we need to hear this. That should shake you and I to the very core. It really should shake our very being. It should shake our very hearts that our definition of love must be nothing less than the cross of Jesus Christ. That's where it is. It should be at the cross. That means that love that we have been called to give and called to live out has a word or a word that we could attach to it, and it is, we'll call it cruciform love. Cruciform love that forms itself to the shape of the cross. So you know that little thing that you've probably seen in posters, "I love you this much"? In reality, Christ is the first and foremost who ever said that, "I love you this much," as He died on the cross. Cruciform love. Well, I don't know about you, but my love falls very, very short of that on a daily basis. And the things that I say, and sometimes the way I treat people, the things I think. And I'm afraid that in my failure to live up to this definition, that I tend to define love as something much less than the action of the sacrifice that we find on the cross. You see, Jesus tells me Himself and tells you Himself in His Word, "Love as I have loved you." And I don't know about you, but I just want to say that brings me short. It brings me to a stop. It brings me to a place that I have to, it makes me uncomfortable. It makes me feel very, very needy, and it makes me very self-aware and very hungry for something that I cannot do in and of myself. How about you? It just leaves me like, there's something that I need. And I just want to just kind of, as we just wrap up this morning and just think about this, I want you to look at verse 11 with me. 1 John 4:11. "Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." Now look up, because this is important. As soon as we read the word "ought," what do we think of? You can speak out loud. Effort, works, try harder. Don't you? Isn't that what you think? Is it seriously? When you read the text, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." But here's the thing, that in the English translation of that word "ought," and the way that we translate it even today in our culture, we've missed the mark with the word "ought." Because really what it means is this: we ought to love the way that we were designed to love. In other words, you and I were created in the very image of God, who is love. So we ought to love as God loves. That changes the paradigm, folks. Because now it's not about you and I going out there and somehow trying to do what you and I cannot do. It's impossible. In and of ourselves, in our own strength, it's impossible. But it's not with God. We ought to love because we were designed to love. A fish swims. A dog walks. A horse runs. You don't take your fish for a walk. And you don't stick your dog in the aquarium. Because it's not what they were designed to do or be. Dark ought to be dark, and light ought to be light. There are things that God designed and created, and they were meant to be that way. And so when it says we ought to love, it is because we were designed to. Now here's the thought that I just want to just point out to us. It defines who you are as a human being. So the failure to love is not just a spiritual problem, it is a denial of your very humanity. In other words, you're very designed by God. That's the issue that we deal with when we talk about this call to love and just what we try to do with that. And that's why in this text, as we've already seen, we ought to love because it is what now we have been recreated in Christ to do. Because of Christ in us, we can love again. Now, one of the things is, I'm just going to wrap this up. Scripture, Ephesians chapter 5, as a husband, it says that God says to me, Dan, you're to love your wife as I love the church and to give up your life for her. And so I go to my wife, Teresa, and I say, Teresa, so here's the deal. God tells me that I need to love you. So I'm just letting you know today that I love you. Spouses, I don't care whether you're a husband or a wife today. How would you respond to that? What's that? Yeah. You understand where I'm coming from? This is not what it's about, folks. We ought to love because we were designed and created to love. And here is the amazing, amazing thing. And I'm just going to wrap it up right here. And I'm going to pick up with some thoughts next week on this area. But here's the deal. Remember David in Psalm 51? Created me a clean heart, O Lord. And renew a right spirit within me. Do you know what David is actually asking for? God, would you recreate my heart in me? Would you make me like I was meant to be? Think about that. God, would you redo me from the inside out. And this is what the text is saying. And let me just read it to you again. Verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. And the one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, or by this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this love, in this is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins, or the substitute for us. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us. Folks, we've been called to do one of the most incredible, amazing, most difficult things in all the world: to love. This church has been on a journey that started many years ago when we came to a place of realizing God said in the book of Revelations, you've done all these great things, but there's one thing that you've done, and it's this: you've left me out of the picture. You've left your first love. It really begins, folks, by coming back. It says, repent and return to where you were in the beginning. And that beginning is when you and I recognize, when we understand that all that we are and all that we ever will be and all that we will ever become is because of Christ in us. And it is when Christ is in us that we can then begin to love as He has called us to love, as we ought to love, because we were actually created to do so. And so as we continue this process, and I just encourage you to read the text, and I'll pick more up on this next week as we just define it more and more, but I just want you to catch this, because it is so important. There's this dichotomy that is so important. It's only because of God's grace and His mercy and His forgiveness and the fact that He gave His only begotten Son to do in us and through us what we cannot do, that now it's been recreated in us the ability to love. It's not about our attempts. Folks, it's only because I know what I know that I can love. It's only because I know God that I can love. It's non-optional then. It is non-optional. I can't hold grudges. I can't make judgments. I can't condemn. We can't be there because of Christ. And so as we move forward in this, especially as we look at 2019 and there's this call to love, and now we read this verse that we ought to love, folks, please understand you were created by God with the ability to love, because He is love. It is our sinfulness that has corrupted that and bent that and warped that and twisted that, and it's because of Christ and His sacrifice on the cross that that has all been removed. And now you and I are on this amazing process, this amazing journey to come back to Him. To love Him first and to love our neighbor as ourselves. I'm going to pray, and then I'm just going to ask you to listen to a song that we're going to play, just a video called Behold. Father, we come before you right now, and we want to just say thank you, Lord, that you have done and have offered in through your Son, Lord, the rescue that allows us to do and be the very person, being that you created us to be, to love as you love, to sacrifice as you sacrifice, to give as you give. We just want to say thank you for that. But Lord, help us not to get ourselves in front of you, somehow thinking that we are the ones that need to make all this happen, because we will fail every time. So we need you, Father, each and every day. And we want to say thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen to this video, Behold.